Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Welcome to Signs of Life Radio. Everyone has a story to share, and tonight we invite you to share yours. We are going to explore many different types of experiences that people have, what those experiences mean, and how we can integrate them into our daily lives. These are the things that define mainstream thinking, that we always double check who's lurking behind a corner before we embark on such conversations. Although mediums provide a valuable connection to the deceased, this show centers around your direct experiences, which do not involve a medium. I'm Kimberly Saavedra, director of the Comlock Center, and your co-host tonight for tonight's Signs of Life Radio will be Dr. Betty Kovach, author of The Miracle of Death, There is Nothing But Life, and Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That is Changing the World, as well as yours truly. One of our priorities on this show is giving the opportunity to each of you to call in and share your comments, your questions, your personal experiences. They can be significant experiences, synchronicities, dream visitations, signs, along those lines, the things that we want to explore in the realm of spirit. For additional details, you can visit Forever Family Foundation's Signs of Life radio page. The call-in number is 888-627-6008. Welcome, Betty.
Oh, thank you.
It's nice to be with you, although we don't have Janet with us this time.
I know. That's true, but she will be back the next time. And do we have a caller already?
We have Sherry from Missouri. Good evening, Sherry. We thank you for calling in right at the top of the hour.
Hi.
Are you there? Oh, great. Hi.
How are you?
I am good. How are you guys?
We're okay, and we're so happy to hear what you have to share with us tonight.
Yeah. So when I was younger, I was 20 years old, and my husband was murdered, unfortunately. And so right after that, I got really into learning and trying to understand, where do you go when you die? And how do you, just what happens and all of the things that come with, you know, grief. And so I ended up reading a lot of Sylvia Brown's books during the time, and they really helped me a lot understand concepts that I didn't really understand before. And long story short, I went to Egypt on one of her tours in 1999, and this is just one of many experiences that I've had since that experience when I was 20. And I was sitting there listening to her. We were all eating dinner, and she was speaking at the hotel while we were eating dinner. And all of a sudden, I look over at one of the waiters, and he looked just like my husband. Mm. And I was video recording at the time everything, because I had gone, the killer was not caught yet. So I was there searching for answers. And so guests on her tour group, we would have an opportunity to ask one question through the week that we were there with her. And so I was waiting for my question and just like, okay, I know I get to ask the question. And my question obviously was, is the killer going to get caught? And, you know, any details that I can get because of that. And so this is the same night. We're sitting there and we're listening to her and we're eating. And I put my video camera on the waiter, and I got up and started like following him, because it obviously freaked me out. And so I have it on video, and it was just the coolest thing. And he went behind the curtain, so I never got to, see him. And then I never saw him again since then. And I looked for him every single night that I was there, and I did not see him. And so that was one really interesting experience that I had. And I know that was him, you know, giving me a sign, my husband at the time, giving me a sign, which he has over the years, several signs. So it's been a really interesting, cool journey. The grief and the loss obviously isn't, but the fact that I know for a fact that he lives on because of all of the signs and really powerful things that he's done over the years, especially around his birthday. And I know birthdays are very significant when somebody on the other side crosses over. They seem to always come around the birthday or anniversaries type of thing, never really around the death day, from my understanding and what I've experienced, but it's more around the birthdays and anniversaries. So that was my really cool experience. Again, one of many through the journey of my grief and loss of my husband.
You know, you were so young to go through that. That's such a horrendous way of losing someone departing. I mean, that's just so hard to get through when it's that. I know two people that happened to, and they were much older than you. That's just, I commend you that you immediately started looking for answers. That really, sometimes the most horrendous things wake us up and activate us to try to find out everything we can. Did you ask your question, by the way, about?
I did.
And she said,
"Yeah, yeah." And so she was right on. Actually, she told me within 2 years the guy would get caught, and I had been working closely. Well, my family had at the time because I was obviously grief stricken, but closely with the detectives, and they already kind of had an idea of who they thought it was, but they needed to build enough evidence, so it took that long. And he was caught in the time frame that she said. And, you know, something interesting happened to me this year, which is really crazy. He was caught, and then we went to the trial, and he was convicted of 30 years to life. And so, you know, here I'm thinking I can, you know, go on with my life, and I know this guy is never going to hurt anyone again and all of that. But this year, I get a phone call from the detectives out of nowhere, 25 years later. This happened in 1999. 25 years later, I get a random phone call. This was about 4 months ago. And, she said, you know, we've been looking for you. This is in regards to your husband. Apparently, there's a law, because I'm from California originally, a law that just changed a few years ago. And the law is, I guess, youth offenders now get parole hearings. Ooh, I just got the chills. And I am very intuitive, by the way, and I'm can see spirits and stuff now after this happened. And there's like literally an angel that just popped in. But so they said that because this guy that did it was young at the time, he is now up for parole. And even though he got life, almost like 30 years to life in prison because of the law, I had to go through the whole thing over again just like 2 months ago. So we had to go through the parole hearing, which was extremely traumatizing. I had to see the guy again. I made a statement at the end, you know, being his wife, and my husband's brother also made a statement to try to keep him, like why we believe he shouldn't get out, and found out a lot of horrible things about this guy that I didn't know. I lost a lot of memory during the first time it happened. Like the first year, I don't remember. Like it's all, I lost memory because of the trauma and I was so young. And so this time I got to just know a lot more that I didn't know back then, just because it was too much and I didn't, you know, whatever. So there was a lot of really interesting things that came out of it, but he didn't, he was not released. So thank goodness. They only gave him 3 more years and then I have to do this again. I know this, like, I want to keep it on track of like what the, what the conversation is about. Through this time, I have been getting a lot more messages and a lot more, help like from the other side, to help me through this, because you were right. I was so young and I don't even know how I am coping other than the fact that, I am extremely spiritual. I can see the other side. I have a different perspective than most people. And it's really, really helped my grief. And obviously it's hard and obviously it's like traumatizing and all of those things that people go through, but it has made it easier to have so much faith and understanding. So I definitely recommend to anybody that is going through anything like this to really do your own research and try to get answers of, you know, what happens when you die, what, you know, just go beyond the normal and try to figure it out and understand for yourself. And that's just what really helped me.
Well, I think, you know, that is very good advice. And I know from my own experience that I don't think I could have endured the death of our son at 20 years old. And had I not had that contact, and the fact that my husband also had experiences helped to ground me because I was still shaky in it, you know. But no, I think that once we have the contact and we know that life continues, it really does help us enormously. So I really appreciate what you've contributed tonight. And I'm sure everyone else has too. It's just,
I really
commend you for having that kind of strength and determination.
And it sounds like you have a really, really solid support system too,
yeah.
Sherry.
Yeah, which is so good, so important.
You know, what's so interesting is that I don't actually have a support system.
Really?
And that's another thing is, I don't. I really don't. And it's crazy. I mean, the first time around I did, but this time I didn't. And it was a really interesting experience to go through this, you know, with like just a few people versus half the town the first time. It was just really interesting.
Well, it certainly has strengthened you. And we have another caller, but I really want to, we both want to thank you for calling in.
Yeah.
It's confirming to hear you talk like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be so young,
thank you.
My son's girlfriend was 19 when he died, and it wasn't that he was killed, which I think is so difficult. But she struggled so hard, and she, the other side did open for her too, which helped her. But it was just I thought so often that young, you know.
Yeah.
So, but thank you so much, and take care.
And call again, Sherry,
You're
please.
So
if you have other experiences,
we'd love to hear some of your other experiences.
We would.
Feel free.
Thank you so much. Yes,
thank
I will.
You.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Betty, we have Anna on the phone from Arizona, and the producer said her question is, when a loved one passes, do you think that their connection is stronger initially or as time passes? So first of all, Anna, welcome and thank you for calling.
Yes. Anna, are you there?
Thank you. I am. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you want to start with that question?
Me?
Yes.
The reason for the question is I've had many people pass in my life, and initially I got connections, and some were further down from the time that they passed. So it's a little bit unclear to me as to why that is so different.
Well, you know, it's right after passing or even during, so often people get very strong messages. And it could be that their imprint is still here and it's easier to communicate. I don't know. But if Janet were here tonight, she would say, well, my grandmother got in touch with me 25 years later. You know?
But she's saying the connection was stronger initially. She said, is that?
The connection.
Is that kind of the way you felt it too, stronger initially?
My own experience, but I want to stress that everybody's experience is different. Some people have had experiences many years later and they're very, very strong. And I think it just depends on many factors. My own experience was that they were very strong in the beginning, very, very strong. And it's almost as though all my questions were answered. And now I feel that they're still with me, they're working with me. And I had one experience in which, well, you know, if you are feeling good, if you don't feel that tragic loss, that's because we're with you, we're in your heart, you know. And so I don't have the same kinds of experiences, but many people do. So I don't think my experience is necessarily, indicative of all experiences. So, but I think many, many people say that in the beginning, and that might be because, you know, we're in grief, where our heart is just wide open at that point.
And you're looking with all your heart.
With all our hearts. We're completely open. Mm-hmm. Nothing else is entering in, you know, is that they can kind of get through perhaps more easily. And perhaps it is also true that their frequency is still in matter to some degree, that might help them. But I don't want to be adamant about it because I think there are still a lot of questions, but...
And everything is possible.
Anything is possible.
It depends on the dynamics of both sides.
Exactly. And I think they can come through at any time that we can make it possible and they can make it possible, and that it can be very profound at any time. But the tendency does tend to be more so in the beginning, but that doesn't need to be.
Yeah. Anna, do you have an experience you want to share or any other questions or comments you would like to raise?
Well, you know, when I lost my son in 2020, the connection was, we were very close. And soon after, it was interesting. I had mist appear in my living room. My light started to go absolute crazy, blinking on and off. My phone stopped working. My computer wouldn't communicate. And that was consistent with everybody he was connected with.
Go ahead, Anna.
Oh, and to this day, I still get the lights remain consistent. The electronics are now working. They started working, 3 months after. We had to keep working on it. But the lights and that communication remains very consistent. And the dreams are very vivid.
Oh, nice. That's good. That's such a gift to have them through the dreams. But, you know, it's such an interesting thing. I never had the flickering of lights, but that's kind of interesting because that means their frequency is there and causing this electrical disturbance. It's very interesting. But is there a dream that you would like to share with us? Or
there's a very interesting dream I had. I remember even to this day, I would probably about 8 months ago, I said, why didn't I know? That was always in my head. Why didn't I know I would have stopped it from happening? And so that night I had a dream. He was 29 when he passed. I had a dream that he was a little boy, maybe four, and he was jumping and running. And I had him wrapped up in bubble wrap because I knew he was going to pass in my dream. And I woke up and I went, that's why I wasn't supposed to know. I wouldn't have let him live life. So
that's
very profound.
That's right. Yeah.
That's a good answer.
Oh, I am so glad that I did not know. And yet, can you believe I had 2 years of dreams that he was going to die? And I looked at them
symbolically.
Yeah. And I just looked at them symbolically, and sometimes even in the dream, it would change. Oh, it wasn't my son. It was someone else's son. And yet I was crying and grieving. So it was mine. In fact, I think I did a lot of grieving before he died, but I still didn't accept it as that. And I'm glad I didn't, because I could let him go somewhere, you know, let him without hugging him to death. Yeah, let him out of the house. I wouldn't wrap him in bubble wrap. at 20,
he would have locked us in the room.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Oh gosh, yeah. So you know, we have to, and we ourselves need to live. They need to live, and it's a gift that we don't know. Mm-hmm. A real gift that we don't. Our whole lives would be changed. But I love that.
That's so beautiful, Anna.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in, and feel free to call in anytime with any question, comment, feedback.
Yeah.
Okay. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Those are things to think about. Interesting to ponder.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, amazing stories.
Yeah, I think that
May I give the call-in number
one more time? Go ahead.
For our audience, the number is 888-627-6008. And as you can tell, your stories mean something. You heard two that are very touching and compelling. And we invite you to call in and share something, because you never know who might be sitting around waiting for just a little bit more reassurance that there is life beyond the physical world and that it's possible to communicate with them.
Yeah, that's so important for us to know. So any experience from you is far more dynamic and powerful in many ways than we even can think. Because just before I knew that I was always trying to find out if there was something more than this in the material world, and before I did know, I so valued, and I think that kept me alive, of just hearing other people's experiences.
Well, they're gems.
Yeah, they really are, because you think, okay, if that was experience, then there's something going on. And I think now we really have to know that with the millions and millions and millions of near-death, or we'd have to actually say actual death experiences, and the kinds of things that have been experienced, and then all of you and many, many people who are in touch with those who have stepped into the other world, it's just something is happening. I think it's always been true, but I think now it's on a massive level.
Oh,
of course, we could say, well, that's, we know it because of communication, but I think if there were no computer or anything else, we would know, because we meet so many people who do know that something is going on. I mean, something that is reconnecting us to the other world, which we should always be connected to.
Oh, that's right.
Our destiny, our heritage.
That's right. That reminds me of that William Irwin Thompson quotation in your book, The Miracle of Death. And he talked about an undergoing of transformation in our basic mentality, and how the shift in our basic mentality doesn't come about with the presentation of facts or exchanging of ideas, but it's a radical transformation on a very deep level. And it's about how we analyze and absorb that information.
Yeah, that's really true. I think that I spent my life studying and trying to find out, but it was what other people had experienced that I wanted to find out about. And that helped me. But I think that it really has to do with this whole, the how we, what we experience. And I had an experience, and I guess that's what you're referring to, this, that, and I think we're probably all thinking this way today, is that things seem to be so chaotic. It's so violent all around the world. And what are we doing? And Thompson has talked about this shift. It's a shift in the way we perceive the world.
Yeah, a shift in worldview that the civilization is undergoing.
Yes, it is. And many people are talking about that, is that many of the old institutions are dying. And there's a... there's a craziness about, there's no question about that. I mean, with postmodernism, people are saying, oh, there are no values. There are no intrinsic values. Well, anyone who's had any experience in depth with the other world knows that there are deep intrinsic values. And we know that as mystics or visionaries or any experience with the other world, that everything grows and blossoms because it's following the organizing principles of the universe. But, you know, we've lost that. And when you lose that, oh, it's all random. You know, there's nothing, no meaning, no purpose. Just, you know, construct whatever
you
want
to.
There
you are, now you're gone.
Yeah, that's right. It's a terrible, terrible the worst kind of worldview that anyone could have, and no one's ever had it before. So I think that's a part of the end game. It's going to change. It is changing. And I had a vision, I guess it was after our son passed, and it was the whole world was just, I saw this chaos. Everyone, it was like the symbolism was a huge catastrophe that people didn't know what to do. We were all stopped, sternly stopped, didn't know what to do because of the chaos. And suddenly I did know what to do. And I think that the fact that I knew what to do was a way of communicating to me, we each know what to do. Suddenly I didn't fear stepping forward in front of all these people and not worrying about what they thought about me, whether I was some kind of idiot or what. I knew what to say, and I felt this voice of the earth and of the spirit just flowing through me. And then everybody else knew too. And we all started dancing the round dance, which is a symbol of wholeness and unity. And then I saw on a large television, a reporter on the other side of the world saying, we've got it, we got it. We're with you, we're with you. And everyone on the earth began to dance a round dance. And I think that, you know, when we see the chaos, it's so scary, and we can be very fearful. But I think that my experience was experience of each human being. We have within us everything we need to respond to a catastrophic situation. And I'm sure many of our listeners, they've gone through personal catastrophes. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, most have discovered that they do have that inner guidance, that inner core that guides them through tremendous changes and transformations. And I think that's what collectively we're going through, our whole world. And that, the great thing is that one person can affect so many others. And here it was going all around the world. And I think we have to remember our power is that once we know something, the biofield has it, and the biofield can carry it, can carry that light around the planet. So each one of us is far more important than we've ever imagined, actually.
That's good. That's good. As Lang said, that a desperately and urgently required project for our time is to explore the inner time and space of consciousness. And that's where we go.
That's
when it hits.
When it hits, yes. Absolutely. I think that we are being called, this chaos is calling each one of us to find that voice that flowed through me, surprisingly, and it's a surprise to many of us, but for each one of us to find that voice of spirit flowing through us, we know what to do. We know how to create out of this chaos and create the kind of world we want for our children. I think we have another call.
Good evening, Kate. Kate is calling from California. Welcome.
Hi, Kate.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you
for having me.
Oh, we want to hear what you have to say.
She has a personal experience to share.
I can't see you over there.
Yes.
Okay, let's hear it.
Yeah, well, thank you. I just wanted to share a personal experience that I have had and hopes that, I don't know, it may help one person or many people.
I guarantee you that will definitely be the starting point with one person, but that's just the beginning.
Yes, actually. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Well, is it okay to begin or?
Of course.
Yes, do.
Okay. So in 2010, my husband was diagnosed with brain cancer, and I was in my third semester of nursing school. So we had a 18-month-old at the time. So it was quite a surprise. He was 30 years old and healthy guy, came out of nowhere. And although I think he and I both knew there was something off, it took some time to get him in. But nonetheless, he was diagnosed with glioblastoma, brain tumor, and had surgery. Did very well. I decided to continue my nursing program and graduated. And about, he did chemo, he did radiation. And in January of 2013, his cancer came back.
Mm-hmm.
And this brain cancer is known to come back with a vengeance. He was given initially less than 6 months to live, but he ended up lasting about 3 years. And so in December of 2013, he ended up passing away. And we did have, in that three-year time frame, another child. We had a son. So our life was such that we decided just to continue it and keep going as we had envisioned and planned, regardless of, you know, the outcome and the timing. And so when he passed away in December of 2013, we had a five-year-old daughter and an eight-month-old son.
Oh,
and
goodness.
So nonetheless, it was quite challenging. And I think sought out every imaginable support system at that time to help me. And I was working as a nurse. And, you know, what I had experienced as a child, which was just this otherworldly knowing, I had had experiences myself as a little girl, both psychic and mediumship experiences. And throughout the process of Nick, my husband's illness, a lot of that was starting to kind of integrate back in. And of course, I didn't really know what that was at the time. It was just more of this thing that I felt. But it was always love. And so when he passed away 2 days later, he came to see me, sat at the end of my bed, clear as day. He was a pretty big guy, like 6'1", and I'm fairly short, 5'2". So he always gave me the best, biggest hugs. And it's really hard to articulate the feeling and the experience of that moment when he came to visit me, but it was just this embodiment of pure love, pure light. And I remember thinking two things. One is, by the way that it felt to be in his presence, it was like this magnetic illumination of, you know, wherever he was. But I remember thinking, no wonder you can be where you are and it feels okay. And the second thing I thought was, you know, I'll never not believe that there's something more to this physical body. And in that moment, you know, fear and worry and all the things that had really shook in my world were completely suspended. And I'll never, ever, ever forget that. And so maybe a little shy of a year after he passed, I was referred to a medium in Colorado that I started to see. And the first time I saw her, I felt his presence again. Mm-hmm. And I think that when we have loved ones that go into this other realm, at least I'll speak for myself, what I really missed the most was just this feeling, his presence, whether he was in the room or not, you know, just that presence of that person, mm-hmm. of that love, that relationship that I had missed so much. And I was able to feel that again.
Well, that's so beautiful.
And from that moment on, my life completely changed. And I felt in my heart, although it wavered many times since then, that I felt like it was going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so between my experience of him coming to see me and then my first encounter with a medium that I truly did feel I trusted and respected and all of those important things, I was able to feel him again. And so I continued to see her and just, you know, some silly little things that would come through, but so profound and so meaningful. And he had quite a sense of humor. And so,
That's great.
That makes
stories. He would always make fun of me when I would tell stories. He's probably making fun of me right now. But, you know, he'd be like, is this the beginning or the end or the middle? Like, where are we? So, at any rate, I could definitely feel him again and started to experience, of course, my own connection with him. And about 3 weeks, or excuse me, 3 years after going to see her, she was like, you know, Kate, you need to embrace your own abilities and potential. And so for the last 7 years or so, I've been developing, practicing and working as a psychic medium and stopped nursing entirely about a year ago. So he shows up all kinds of ways, particularly license plates. They're easy and simple and bold for me, so I know it's him. Loved baseball, so anything baseball, you know, all of a sudden there's a baseball that wasn't there the day before. So I have found both, you know, the miraculous unknown, but you know, that they're present, and not only the work that, you know, I have experienced myself personally, I find to be so hopeful and so healing, and one of the best ways to actually feel and be able to tap into what it feels like to feel again. And so I just wanted to share that.
That's so important.
Yes, and you know, it's so, you really described it so beautifully, because it almost felt, when he came and hugged you, embraced you, he was a partner. He's still a partner with you. You know, it's what a beautiful presence for your family, for bringing up your children, for giving you the strength you need. But it's like he's with you in this. It's beautiful that you had that experience and know that's what it is.
And that it's being nurtured also by the person who you sought out as a medium for help, that she knew when it was time to say, you can fly, you know,
yeah,
you can do this too, directly.
And that's so many good, yeah, so many good mediums say, look, we're doing this, but you can do it.
Yeah.
And the important thing is, we're just doing it until you learn.
Yeah.
And that she knew you had the ability.
Yeah, it was very encouraging, comforting. You know, my family, my personal family doesn't necessarily, they don't not support this, but they don't really talk to me about it or support it in that, you know, in the ways that other people do.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah,
to have somebody believe in you and believe in what you're experiencing was really an experience that I'll never forget. It was incredibly helpful.
Oh, well, it certainly, and I can certainly, we can feel the strength and the power of it. And I think that we on the planet now we're making so many just incredibly important contacts or connections. We are rebuilding that bridge between ourselves and the divine, the other world. And these are very difficult. I mean, that's very difficult. You have two children, and what strength. I mean, you must have chosen a very, very strong path, because you have an incredibly difficult, profound job role to perform, you know, with him on the other side. And the fact that you know that and his strength and his love are with you is beautiful. And that's such an encouraging thing for everybody to know.
Mm-hmm. And that you're supporting others too in the journey that you've
learned that's so
well.
Yeah.
It's been really wonderful to be able to, you know, speak from experience of incredible loss, and then also just the connection. And it's definitely taken me some time. You know, it'll be 12 years in this December, so by no means did I jump into it and say, oh, okay. But there's so much more personal healing too that was necessary and has surfaced, you know, my understanding of my belief that all things are energy. And so it's been incredible to marry, you know, the science and the spiritual, and have the medical background, and it's fascinating. And I definitely at first was like, you know, why did I sign up for something so hard here?
You did sign up for something difficult.
Can I take back a few things here? But but to understand, you know, how our relationship with our loved ones in spirit doesn't end, but it evolves, and to be able to nurture and grow, you know, our relationship as it is now has been incredibly helpful too. So, yeah.
And I think it's a beautiful, I didn't want to stop you.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're good. Go ahead. Thank you.
I just wanted to say that what your relationship is with him is such a beautiful symbol of how we can work with the other side. That through a profound love, we can have that kind of partnership. It's a real co-creativity with the other side. And you beautifully described it. It's encouraging. I mean, and your strength is very clear, you know, but it comes so often, does it, out of such grief and
necessity.
And necessity, yes. But you too have built
urge to build it back. Oh,
very. But you've built that beautiful bridge between the two worlds. And that's what I think we are called to do today.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like that's opening up for other people, or at least the curiosity of it, which is really a beautiful thing to be able to see.
And you're there to help them.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. We really
appreciate your time.
Pardon?
Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's a very powerful story and strong.
That's
your strength
is
clear. Yeah.
Our audience thanks you too.
Yes.
thank you. I'm not always feeling strong, but I've learned that, you know, you kind of waver back and forth, and you find out whether or not you're going to choose this way or that way. So keep choosing.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, take good care and feel free to call again anytime and share what's going on and how you're doing.
Well, thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening.
You too. Kate. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You want to give the number again? Or
yes. To have your moments on the air and share your gems and your jewels of a lifetime that you're cultivating, we would love to hear from you, and so would the audience. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008.
Well, it's hard to know what to say after such powerful experiences.
Oh,
just
yes.
Beautiful.
Oh, all of them. Mm-hmm. All of them.
I was thinking earlier, and I think we talked about that before the show, is that my husband had a vision after our son crossed over, and he was looking at the earth and he saw how many people are suffering because we don't have that bridge. We've lost the bridge. We've been told there's no such thing as the other side. So how can you build a bridge to nothing and nowhere? And the suffering has been enormous, as well as the violence and sort of the loss of a principled, ethical, loving heart consciousness has been lost. And he was with our son at one point, and they were looking down at the earth. And the earth was it was so much darkness. And then our son Pishti said to him, "Dad, do you see those points of light?" And then when Ishwan, my husband, looked more closely, he could see the points of light. And I'm just going to look at in the book what I had written about it. He said at that point he was allowed, he could actually see the light hovering just above the earth's surface all around the globe. This was interesting because he saw light all around the globe, and it needed to be connected to the planet. And he said, though, that our son explained to him that light was attracted to the planet by everyone on the planet who had ever loved. So every one of us, and there are millions and millions, billions who love, that we have all pulled that light to ourselves, to the planet. And as they moved closer to the earth, my husband Ishwan began to feel the intensity of his own love and the grief for Pishti. And then our son said to him, "Dad, the power of this love can do anything. It is infinite." And he then said to him, after they had talked a little longer, he said, "Dad, only love can pierce the pollution of this darkness, of the forgetfulness, the separation and despair that covers the earth." And then when Ishwan looked even closer, he saw again those points of light. And he said, "Those are people who love, and they're all over the earth. And they are able to hold this light that's hovering around the planet. And they are drawing it through themselves into the earth. And they become like lighthouses. And these great spiritual lighthouses send the light around the planet." And I've always loved that imagery. I think that all of you called in are doing that. And every time we love and we allow ourselves to just let that love flow through us, that we can heal the most pathological carryings on that are taking place on the earth. It breaks the circuit of darkness when we can do that. And yet our stories show that there's a lot of grief involved very often, because we go through great loss in order to open our hearts to that divine love and wisdom. I always think of Khalil Gibran, who said, "How can our hearts be open lest they be broken?"
Oh, wow.
And it seems that so.
It does. It does.
Well, but do you have anything else, Kim? Well, we have a little bit of
yes,
time.
I had also come across something else from William Irwin Thompson, and it was his discussion. You might want to talk about this, about the imagination as a transformer.
Oh, I like that.
Takes electricity and steps it down to household current so that it can be used to run the appliances of our daily lives.
Yeah, and I think we forget that we have that electricity, because we've been told for centuries that we have nothing, that there is nothing.
Yeah.
And so we have to find it again ourselves, out of our grief, out of our suffering, and most essentially out of the love that we have. And it's the imagination is not making up something. It's actually our getting in touch with the subtle intermediate world, the symbolic world. And there we find the language of spirit, which is symbolic. So when we dream, and it's in all kinds of symbols, when we allow ourselves to really focus on it, those symbols become clear to us, and we begin to see the patterns and the relationships. But this is the voice of spirit using our native language. I always like to remember that when I was teaching mythology, symbolic language actually, I had a dream that I went to a foreign country. And I dreamed, well, I did not know the language, but I dreamed that I went there to teach them their native language. And so the native language, of course, we all have within us, and that is symbolic language, which is not random, it's not frivolous, it's actually comes into being through the organizing principle of the heart, the soul. There is an organizing principle that organizes these dreams and creates the symbols. And when we work enough with our dreams, we begin to learn the grammar of our symbolic language. And I think we know it from feeling. You know, it's feeling that helps us to know what the dream means. And then I think it's so good to record all of our experiences. And we begin to see patterns. And so when we do that, we begin to know there's an intelligence, vast intelligence of the universe.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yes, the imagination is, what did he call it?
Well, it's like a transformer.
Transformer.
But he says also that if we think of the electricity as a metaphor for the unlimited power of the multidimensional mind, and when we can think of it as our mental capacity to take it in and transform it into language, then we relearn what it truly means to speak our native language, to go back to that symbolic right brain.
That's right.
Images, symbols, feeling.
Yeah, because the spirit could be, it is so strong that we have to have some way of understanding it. And sometimes it's just feeling, or we see all kinds of signs, and or like, oh, who was it in the, who called in the beginning? Was it Cherry who saw her husband? I mean, it looked so like him. Mm-hmm. And then she never saw the person again.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And there are so many ways of speaking to us. But we really can understand on a very deep level these symbols, which all of you talk about who call in, whether they're an actual outer experience on a daily basis or if they occur in a dream. And yeah, it's so powerful. Yeah, it's an electricity. It's a frequency so powerful that we have evolved with a language that is for spirit to speak through to us. And I think to know that that's true is so important, because when I was teaching in college all those years, most of the professor there, I mean, it was just a joke about dreams. Oh, well, you ate too much or whatever. You know, it was always a demeaning and a devaluing. And we have to reclaim that meaning and that value and that purpose, and reclaim our language as sacred language. It's one of the bridges that connects us to the other world.
Right.
Yeah.
You remember physicist Fred Allen Wolf physics of spirit?
Yeah, oh, read that. That's good.
He said that quantum physics shows us that matter is how spirit appears in the physical universe.
Oh, I love that. Say that again. I like
matter
it.
Is how spirit appears in the physical universe.
Yeah. Spirit becomes matter in the physical universe. It's not separated from spirit at all. It is spirit. And physicists today, quantum physicists, are understanding that. And they are saying that. And we are experiencing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, we often have to confront the doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. The doubt that absorbs the light if we're not careful.
Yeah, Kim was bringing that up to me earlier, is that, or reminding me that, of course, I had always looked for meaning and purpose, hoping that there was some meaning or purpose in the universe before I'd had the experiences. And in one of the early experiences after our son passed, I was talking to spirit, and I was very clear about the fact that I just had to doubt. I didn't know yet. And the spirit was saying, well, you know, that's all right. If that's where you are, what you have to do, then that's okay. Because by doubting, you bring up a lot of questions and so on. But then I had the experience of what my doubt was actually doing to me. I realized that when I doubted, I saw my body in doubt, and I saw the light that was everywhere trying to interpenetrate me, to be there, to flow through me, and the doubt absorbed it. As it came to my body, my doubt absorbed that light.
Oh,
fine. I think that as we're discovering things, until we have the experiences, we're going to doubt, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. If we have to do that, good, but keep looking.
Well, doubting isn't dismissing.
No, it's not dismissing.
It's just questioning.
Yes, because there are many people who don't even doubt because they don't question it. They don't have anything to do with it whatsoever. And so that's one of the stages, I think, of exploring, is that we will doubt until we have the experiential evidence. And I think it's experiential evidence that totally transforms us. Then it's so wonderful to have the quantum physics that now can support what we're experiencing to a great degree. So, but until then, I continued to doubt because I couldn't let the light in.
That's right.
And you just, my doing, body just absorbed it. Doing, so I must have had a lot of doubt.
Doing business with the addiction to ordinary consciousness, oh, yeah. Right?
Oh, that was true. How much time do we have? We have just a few minutes. Is that after our son died, I had a lot of experiences. And one of them was that, this was before he died, actually, because I was concerned that he was using, and I didn't know about it. I didn't know what was going on. And I had a journey in which there were shamanesses from around the world encircled me, and they made it very clear to me in such love and grace that not to worry about my son, that I, in fact, was the biggest addict in the family because I was addicted to ordinary consciousness. Mm. Addicted to the left brain.
The mother of all addictions, you said.
The mother of all addictions.
No pun intended.
Yeah, right. And the voice, they told me, these shamanesses, they said, if you can be healed, he will be healed. And I knew that that was for me and for the world, because if we as individuals can go beyond what we've been trained to believe in, which is just rational scientific thinking, and allow our right brains and our heart, the heart is the fifth brain component. If we can allow our hearts to be open, we are open to the consciousness of the cosmos. We're incredible beings, and we've been told we're nothing, that we need to be fixed or transformed or saved in some way. And this was a wonderful journey for me, because there I was concerned about marijuana or whatever, and which is a concern, but it was that there won't be addictions if we can connect with spirit. That's, we're longing for that. Why drugs? You know, it's to get to another state of being, another kind of consciousness. Not always what we want, however, but some are, so the sacred medicine can, but it was a wonderful experience, I think, and it's an experience that we on the earth need to really be aware of, is that we as adults, if we can heal our addiction to ordinary consciousness thing, and that's all it is, left brain, rational, intellectual knowledge, If we can heal that and go flow through our hearts, our children won't be addicted. They're looking for what we have blocked out.
That sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds right.
I guess that's it, isn't it? About time.
It's time to say thank you to our callers, Sherry, Anna, and Kate, and to the listeners. We thank you so much for being with us tonight, and we hope to have you back with us next month when Janet Mayer, Forever Family Foundation certified medium and author of Spirits They Are Present, will grace us with her wisdom and experience too. So, yes. Good night, everyone.
Yes, good night, and thank you.